The gospel, that word, means good news. It's not good advice or good suggestion. It's good news. And I'd like to read tonight from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. This is the good news about Jesus. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Please join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for opportunities that you give us to pause, to reflect. We thank you for your love tonight. We thank you for the person seated to our right and to our left, those behind us and in front. We are all neighbors here. And we thank you that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Amen. You know, back in the old days, take a city, take any city. What's the first city that pops in your mind? Philadelphia, of course. And so Philadelphia on the corner, like when you get off on Allegheny Avenue, and you drive down off 95 there, what do I find on every corner? No, not a pawn shop. What do you see on every corner? 7-Eleven's less so, John, I'm afraid. You see a church. And it's not just a church here, a church there. It's a church on every single what? Every single block. Just about. Allegheny Avenue. There's the Polish Catholic Church. There's the Lithuanian Catholic Church. There's, you know, the Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church. There's the Friends Meeting House. There's all these different places of gathering all up and down Allegheny Avenue. And that's just one town. Why are there so many churches on every corner? You know, back in the day, when you got up, you know, on a Sunday morning, you often might say, you move to a new area, hey, what church you want to go to? How many times do people ask that anymore? Hey, honey, what church you want to go to? You know, it's really not something you think about very much. In fact, for some people, you know, getting up and getting ready on Sunday morning kind of feels, you know, kind of like a grudge duty. You know, it's a lot of work. Listen, believe me, I tease people, it's only teasing, but I tell them, you know, I get paid to be here. But I would be here, of course. But getting ready for worship, getting ready to do something like our parents did, like other people did years and decades before, it was sort of like a duty, you know, a positive duty. It was a positive obligation in the best sense of the word. And for others of us in generations like mine and since, it has felt sort of like one of those things you'd rather not do. You know, it reminds me of mattress stores. You ever see, besides every other corner being a church, oftentimes wherever you drive, you find a mattress store. Do you ever ask yourself why? When's the last time you bought a mattress? All right, don't share now. But I'd say, what, 10 years? You know, 8 years, 7 years, something. Mattress, every single corner. You know, there's the largest mattress store in the country is Mattress Firm. Do you know that? You learn a lot at Cold Spring Church. That's just one of the things you'll learn. But it's Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm on almost every single corner, because back around 2014, they decided they wanted to be the biggest mattress company in the United States. So they came up with a lot of money, i.e. debt, and they bought all the other mattress companies, Sleepy's, Mattress Comfort, Mattress Giant, Sleep Giant, all these creative names, you know, for mattress stores. And they bought them all up. In fact, there are mattress stores on multiple corners in the center of Manhattan, the highest real estate in the country. You ask yourself, do people really make that much money selling mattresses? Well, no, not really. But all they do this because they realize that everybody eventually has to buy a what? Is that something you look forward to do every day? Something you look, wake up on a Sunday morning and say, boy, I can't wait to get to the mattress store. But unfortunately, around 2014, 2016, online mattress companies became more popular. You know, well, they're just more popular, easier to get. They come in a little box about this big. You open it up in the middle of your bedroom and just back up out of the way because that thing pops up to the biggest queen-size mattress you ever saw in 3 seconds. Just phenomenal. And so that's caused a lot of downward pressure on the purchasing of mattresses. But every mattress company knows that to buy a mattress is kind of a grudge purchase. Nobody goes to the mattress store with a smile on their face. And you rarely have a smile on your face when you leave. First of all, they're expensive. And secondly, you know, what do you tell your neighbors? Hey, I just bought a new mattress. It's sort of like people that are in the coaching business, you know, people that coach other people. You know, we don't hear much about that because what? There's two different people in the world, two kinds of people. People that have a coach and those that don't. Now, the people that have a coach don't need a coach, and the people that don't have a coach don't want a coach. So I feel like it's almost like buying mattresses. You don't talk about it very much. You just do it when you have to. You know, when the disciples saw the angels up in the sky, that was something that just knocked them for a loop. You know, they were shepherds. They were smart guys. They knew the sound and can discern the different tone in each sheep's voice, so that they knew whether it was Bobby's sheep or Billy's sheep that was beating and bleeding to them. They were able to discern the sound of the sheep if in the middle of the night they heard some stir by the gate, and maybe that little rascal, Lewis, was trying to get up out of that pen again. And they would just know, just the slightest sound on that starlit night, they would know when that sheep. And so they would, you know, go to the other guys around them and say, hey, you go get Lewis tonight. I'm not getting you. I got him last night. No, you go. How do you know it's Lewis? Don't you know his sound? Everybody, every sheep had a sound to a shepherd. It wasn't a grudge job. It was a job of joy because the shepherds, they named their sheep. They loved their sheep. And sure, I know, some of them ended up in lamb stew. Some of them ended up as sacrifices. As we know that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Yes, the lambs had that particular purpose, but you know, some of the shepherds, some of their best friends were sheep, and they loved the sheep and knew the sheep by name. In fact, Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me, and I know them, and I hear them when they speak, and they hear me when I speak to them. Jesus is the good shepherd, not the average shepherd, not the mediocre shepherd, not the one that just gets by on the threshold, barely passing. Jesus is the max shepherd, the ultimate shepherd. And Jesus is that one who knows each of us by name. He knows your sounds. He knows when you're feeling a little stressed. He knows when you're feeling anxious, worried. He knows when you're expecting that call from a doctor or from that relative who's distant you hope never calls back again. Oh my gosh, I hope that's not them. God knows everything about you. God knows and loves you more than you could possibly know. And he couldn't love you any more tomorrow than he does already. In fact, he couldn't love you any more tonight than he loved you yesterday. I don't know, God's like that. Jesus is the good shepherd. So how did that get started here at the manger? At the manger, we have sheep, we have oxen, we have cattle and donkey, just like the kids pointed out. Jesus was born around animals. He loves animals. Jesus loves people too. They were there. We had shepherds, and in a few weeks, we'll celebrate Three Kings Sunday. We remember the story of the wise men who came way from way far away, because they saw the star too. It just took them 3 years, what took the wise men about 30 minutes, or shook the shepherds about 30 minutes to find Jesus in the manger. And so Jesus, that same one, that same good shepherd, is right here in the manger. Sometimes we'll hear kids sometimes talk about baby Jesus, which is cute, right? I mean, he was a baby. He was cute just like you when you were a baby. But that baby Jesus, you know, he's not a baby anymore. And the only way we can meet the baby or meet the Jesus who is no longer the baby is to go beyond the manger. It's to step sort of through the manger and see what you see. The shepherds heard, showed up and saw, and went back out and told everybody the amazing news. Their life as a shepherd was different because somehow they saw in the baby Jesus that was here, the good shepherd who would be the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. And like we said, who knows more about sheep than shepherds? So as we look beyond the manger, we ask ourselves the Christmas story, we've retold it many, many times. What is it that you hear in the Christmas story? What is it that you feel in the Christmas story? And how can you convey what you hear, what you feel, what you sense in the Christmas story for you, knowing that the shepherd knows you by name and loves you? What kind of message will you carry out? Because tonight, only here at Cold Spring Church, I'm making you deputy shepherds. Because you all have heard the angels sing. You all have heard the word of God, the message of good news. And you all have seen the manger. But we have to be able to see beyond it. You know, beyond the manger, there is no silent night. Beyond the manger, there is no soft hay where a baby lies. There's no the bleating of a sheep or the mooing of a cow. Beyond the manger, there is no comfort found. Beyond the manger, we find Jesus walking down the street and meeting somebody who was blind from birth and giving him back his sight and giving his parents hope. Beyond the manger, we find Jesus up high on a hill after speaking for probably a lot longer than you're so glad this service is not that long. But he just went on for the longest of time and turned around and everybody said, "We're hungry." You know what the disciples said? "You go feed them." Jesus said, "No, no, you." And so they look like, "What am I going to do?" So Jesus takes the bag lunch from a little boy standing there, a couple pieces of bread, a few fish, and he feeds more than 5,000 people that day. Because Jesus knows that sometimes we just run out of energy. That's why there are so many churches along Allegheny Avenue, because everybody needs a spiritual refueling station. Our spiritual life needs energy. Just like you take your vitamins every day, right? Huh? Exercise? Mostly some. Do more. But our spiritual life needs energy too, and for 304 years, Cold Spring Presbyterian Church has been a spiritual energy station here in Greater Cape May. You get good stuff here. But it's not because of a grudge or something done grudgingly, something that's done just sort of, oh, because I have to. The shepherds found great energy in the story about Jesus. And they were amazed by it. That's what we here in Cold Spring Presbyterian Church for more than three centuries continue to be. Amazed by God's love. Because beyond the manger, we have healing in the streets. Beyond the manger, we hear not the cry of the singing of the angels, but we hear the angry roar of a crowd. We hear the sound of hammers putting nails in Jesus' hands. Beyond the manger, we see Jesus in the middle of thieves on the garbage heap just outside town. Because after all, you don't keep garbage in the house. You always take it out. Beyond the manger, we see Jesus not just dying on a cross as a shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, or the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world to give us hope and peace and joy and energy to live an abundant life. We find Jesus put in a tomb, but a few days later, it was empty. Just like the manger bed of Jesus became empty. Because Jesus is no longer a baby. Jesus is that good shepherd who went to the cross to give his life as a ransom for many, that the sheep might live in the abundance of living, the abundant life. Jesus said, I have not come to steal or to kill or to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So beyond the manger, that tomb was empty. And Jesus ascends again in the clouds and promises and says, hey guys, you're going to miss me. Totally get that. But I just want you to know that I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you defenseless or resourceless. No, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you resources that you'll find as you meet together as a community of faith, that you all will do, Jesus says, even more than I have done. He says, greater things you will do. And that's why you all are deputized as shepherds tonight. Because God expects all of us to do even greater things than Jesus did. How is Cape May going to have hope? How is your street going to find hope? How are visitors who visit our area going to find hope? How are our kids going to find hope? How are those struggling with opioid addiction going to find hope? How are those struggling with illness, reading disabilities, other kinds of things, otherwise enabled, other kinds of gifts and skills that struggle because most of us don't pay any attention to them because they're different than us. How are they going to find hope? Well, the only way they find hope is if we look beyond the manger. The only way we find hope is if we recognize that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep. We know that the empty tomb is the promise of a full life, and that the Christmas story begins with baby Jesus, but ends with the great shepherd who knows you and loves you more than you could possibly know. Let us pray. Just in a moment of silence, just consider you standing there at that manger. You hear the good news. You still have the ring of angel choruses in your ears. You smell the hay and those animals. And you see that baby Jesus. Do you have the eyes to see the Jesus who healed countless multitudes, cared for widows and orphans, empowered the weak, blessed the poor, encouraged the suffering, turning all of our upside down, right side up? Just pause for a moment and ask God, trust in God tonight as you become one of his shepherds. Forgive us, Lord, grant us eyes to see. In every Christmas, Calvary. And plant it in our hearts. Help us to recall that amid the trees of red and gold, the sprinkle and the glitter and the gifts that abound, that there was another tree raised long ago. Lord, we thank you that you raised the brightest star in the sky and now have called us to give witness to the light that it brings beyond the manger. In Jesus' name, amen.